ESPN360.com today.
Coming up, fair or foul, a couple arrested for tattooing their kids with crosses. Meanwhile, bankruptcy filings across the U.S. increased 32%. I thought things were looking up in 2010, just a few days into this. And are you shivering wherever you are huddled tonight? Winter could be the worst we've seen in 25 years. At least that's what a lot of the weather forecasters are saying. How cold is it where you are? We're going to talk about that stuff and so much more. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here at the helm, of course, as always, with all of you from every nook and cranny across the globe, too. Big shout-out to all the fans in Sweden and Spain. And I understand we have some people that are listening to us now in Italy. Isn't that really, really cool? How about this story over the weekend? The Reverend Rick Warren. You know, he has got that mega church in Southern California, Saddleback Church, and he must have incredible parishioners there, because this has happened before where he's raised money in a very, very short time. And remember, he's the author of A Purpose-Driven Life that is a bestseller, a runaway bestseller. And there are other things we could attach to Rick Warren. I think most people are familiar with him. But what was really interesting is he needed $900,000 by the end of the year. He needed the $900,000. Sent out a little plea for help over the internet, and lo and behold, he ends up with $2.4 million, pulling the trigger on something that was just, I mean, mind-blowing, I think, in such a short amount of time to turn around and have people sending, emailing in notes with donations. And then again, his own folks from the church, from Saddleback, chipping in, of course, as well. So I think it's a fascinating story. Gail Perry in the wings now joining us. She is a fundraising consultant. She's also written a book called Fired Up Fundraising. And boy, during a recession, I bet a lot of people could use some tips on that. Hey, Gail, thanks for hanging late with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, how you doing, Kate?
Good. You know, that when you saw that number, when you heard that story, what was, as somebody who understands fundraising, what was your initial response?
Well, I sort of fell out of my chair because I thought it was pretty amazing. You know, to ask for $900,000 and get $2.4 million, I didn't do the math, but I think he got an exponential response, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. What I think he's popular, obviously, especially in his church. That's one thing. But he has international appeal, and that's what also happened with the Reverend, because a lot of people sent things in just basically almost overnighted it when he sent out the SOS. Is that part of the deal? Was his appeal part of, you think, how it happened so quickly?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how many followers he has, but he's bound to have people not only outside, in his own parish, but then all around the country and all around the world. But what's interesting to me is that he posted this apparently in a letter he posted on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just people reading his website. Apparently they have it bookmarked or something, and they got the message, and maybe perhaps the message went out virally and people started sending it to each other.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, no kidding. And that shows you the power, too, of the internet and websites, how the websites are the new calling card, I think, Gail, for everybody. You have to have at least some kind of a website, because you're right, that is the amazing part about this. Here's the other thing I wonder, because I've been involved in fundraising and tried to, you know, help various charities, and they always have goals, and, you know, they have big thermometers where they color in
whatever level they
hit. Well, this is such a quick turnaround. Does it work sometimes when there's sort of, this sounds funny to say, but like desperation, like the plea is out there, I'm begging for money, we need to do this. Do people just seem to respond when there's more emergency or urgency to it?
Yeah, I think you have to walk a real fine line, though, because you can't sound like you're a sinking ship. You know, you got to be full of vigor and action and passion and vision, and you're heading for your goal, and you're rallying your supporters around you. I think that he and many other religious figures are much more willing to call a spade and ask, whereas a lot of our nonprofit leaders are a little bit more namby-pamby, they're a little bit more academic, they're a lot more polite, perhaps, and they back off, I think, when it comes time to be really urgent and sort of drum up the masses and get everybody fired up to really help out, step up to the plate and help out.
Yeah.
But I was reading his email that he posted, and it was really interesting because he did some things that I think nonprofits should copy, if you want me to mention those.
Sure, let's hear. What do you think he did well that would help a lot of people? Probably, I know people listen to us that are running nonprofits. Like, I know a couple of people out there that are struggling. What would you say they can do?
Yeah, and by the way, you probably got some people out there who are serving on their local PTA board or the Boy Scouts troop, mm-hmm. or, you know, so many Americans or people all over the world are involved in volunteer fundraising in one way or another. So here's some things he did that I really liked. He used the word I and you in the very first sentence. He said, I need your help right now. And, you know, a lot of solicitations you get, they go, oh, our organization needs help from its supporters. They're sort of very polite. They don't want to come right out and be personal. And I think that that personal approach really speaks to people and gets their attention really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing he did, he was very specific about what he needed the money for. And I work with nonprofits all around the country and actually the hemisphere. And, you know, it's amazing how difficult it is to really pinpoint exactly what you're raising money for. And he was very explicit. You know, he said we need our Bible studies need X amount and our African mission needs a certain amount, you know. And so the donor had confidence that the money they were giving was going to go directly to help an important, urgent cause. So maybe all of our nonprofit friends can be a little bit more explicit, a little bit more passionate, and real much more direct, I think, would make everybody more successful.
Yeah. For you doing and then consulting in this field for a while,
yeah,
is this one of
yeah.
the toughest times that you've ever seen for fundraising because of the economy?
Ooh. Yeah, it really has. It's just nonprofits have taken a terrible hit this year because they, you know, they get money from government sources and the government gifts have plummeted and foundation and corporate gifts have plummeted. The one sector that's still keeping the nonprofit industry floating are individual gifts just like you and me and your listeners. So I hope everybody out there made their end-of-the-year gifts to their favorite causes.
Boy, no kidding. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, fascinating
yeah.
stuff. I love I love your advice. The I need your help and be specific because I agree with you. I find the same thing that people dance around what it is and they're too vague and you don't know what it is.
And you know, I'll tell you something else that happens in nonprofits. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. There's this thing called management by committee.
Right.
And, you know, the fundraiser may be enterprising and smart and snappy, and they create this really dynamic appeal. And then the management start, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. And then the board members read it, and they, you know, if there's one board member who doesn't like it, then they end up watering it down. I see that a lot with some of my clients.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I guarantee it. I have seen it. Gail, thank you so much for joining us on America Tonight. Check Gail out at GailPerry.com. You take care. She gave you some great advice. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about pirates with Ken Miller. Fascinating stuff there, too. That's up around the bend.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you tired of out-of-control, irresponsible federal deficit spending? Increasing the money supply without increasing productive output leads to inflation. You get less for your money. If you want to protect the buying power of dollars for your future, then call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. You've worked hard for your dollars. Don't let the government strip their buying power with wasteful spending. Gold has a 5,000-year track record as money, real money you can count on. No government-backed paper currency comes close. Ask me about the protection of private gold. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. Central banks from around the world are stockpiling gold. They know gold is real money. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135, to discover the advantages of private protected gold.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
How much did we talk about those pirates and that situation with the captain and all the various ships that were coming through that little portion, that little horn of Africa where the Somalia pirates were picking them off one by one, and it seems so ridiculous to me to say that you have these big nations and you have these rogue band of pirates who are holding people captive and giant ships captive. I mean, did we not talk about this forever on America Tonight? So I'm so psyched about our next guest. He's written an interesting book that kind of melds a couple of things together. His name's Ken Miller, and the book is called Langata Rules, Pirates at Lat 10, and it mixes in so much of where we went, those shipping lanes, if you will, that we went down on America Tonight for months. And I'm not even really, we're just scratching the surface here. I'm not even doing Ken justice because there's so much to dive into here. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Kate, I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. And it's true. We were talking about this so much. And so I wonder, what was it that, you know, obviously, for such a chunk of your life, you were Mr. Political Science at UC Santa Barbara, and you worked on various national and local political campaigns, and you know, you've got experience with media, running a company, etc. I can see how you could pull this all together for this book. And I love, by the way, the fact that you're sharing, I found this out today, that you're sharing some of the money, some of the royalties from the book with an organization called Fabric of Life. Tell everybody what that's about, Fabric of Life.
Yeah, thanks. And the tie with the Rick Warren story you had just a few minutes ago, I think, is lovely. Fabric of Life goes to Africa, and now they're starting to go to other parts of the third world, and they work with young women and girls who have just come in from the country, and they're trying to figure out how to stay alive in these big cities. And mostly the choices are begging and prostitution. It's pretty ugly. And so Fabric of Life goes in and they do micro lending where, like, for $15, they help a group of girls buy a sewing machine. They teach them how to do fabric arts, and then they create a cooperative business. And now these girls and women are selling fabric in the United States and Canada and around the world. And at They've got projects in, I guess, about a dozen countries now. There are a lot of nonprofits doing it. These folks I happen to know. They're based up here in Washington State, and they do great work.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. Good for you. Bravo. We'll have to have somebody on from that organization. Somebody at one point, and this was, I think, recently, because how long has Fabric of Life been around?
I want to say 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
A woman named Carol Chilios founded it in Mali, I think, was the first location. And now they're in Vietnam and a number of African countries, the Honduras. You know, the poverty in some of those places, pretty awe-inspiring. And you look at the life expectancy, the abuse that women and girls are exposed to. There's a lot government can do, but there's a lot government cannot do. And that's mm-hmm. where groups like Fabric of Life and Rick Warren and a whole bunch of other not-for-profit organizations can step up and make a big difference.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, so tell us about, let's go back to this novel. And
yeah.
I get your background, and I understand where you were going with the book, but what made you decide to jump into this fray and use the comparisons with the pirates, etc.?
Well, I had a character, Drew Alexander. He's this sort of 28-year-old, slightly embittered, British guy, well-educated. He's served in Britain's MI6. You know, to me now, Katie's almost like a real person, so forgive me if I get a little carried away talking about him. It's probably unhealthy mentally, but it's, you know. And so he's the troubleshooter for a British shipping firm that sort of operates on the margin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you that as I started writing this book, I lost track of what I was making up and what was real. Because it turns out that, sure enough, there is a segment of the international shipping business that sort of operates in the gray space. You know, it's a little bit hard to keep track of them. The ships change names, they change flags, maybe the accounting isn't all up to snuff. And so Drew works for one of those kind of firms. And so I was looking for his first adventure, and then all of a sudden this stuff started jumping off the page. I mean, I think that you were probably one of the first national media people to figure out that this is a real trend. It's not like an isolated incident. Because mm-hmm. for a while it was like, oh, there's a pirate story, and then there's another pirate story. Well, one day I read about pirates seizing a freighter full of weapons, and I was like, what the heck? And it's not like shotguns, right?
Right.
They're taking shoulder-mounted rocket launchers, armored vehicles. They suddenly have the capability to run a small army. And in a country like Somalia, by the way, half the piracy in the world takes place off the coast of Somalia.
Mm.
More than 300 incidents a year take place around the Gulf of Aden and now into the Indian Ocean. But that's an aside. So what happens to those weapons all of a sudden has the potential to affect the political stability of countries far away. You put those things on a truck and ship them inland, and you could disrupt any number of countries.
Yeah, Ken, don't you think, I mean, to me, the piracy is really absolutely some sort of form of terrorism, I think.
I agree exactly. And Congressman Adam Smith, who chairs the House Subcommittee on Terrorism, was good enough to write a foreword to the book, and he makes exactly that point. He says that these guys, they may not have a political ideology, but in terms of disrupting the rule of law and creating chaos, they are as big a contributor as some guy who gets on a plane bound for Detroit or tries to drive a truck into an embassy.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, when we look at what's happening with especially that area, the Gulf of Aden, et cetera, that we've been talking about, now it's certainly, you would have to say, and I'm sure, and this ties in, too, with your book, I mean, it's changing, really, the way shipping, modern shipping is being done because it's costing so much more to either avoid it or you decide, flip a coin, let's take the risk and go through, right?
Good for you. You nailed it. I calculated that just in terms of oil and gas products, the average American family is going to pay $100 more this year because of what the oil freighters are paying for insurance, for longer routes, to armor themselves, hazard pay for their crews, et cetera. Insurance for those ships has gone up 500% in some cases.
Yeah, crazy. We know, obviously, you hope that people embrace, again, your character that you love, Drew Alexander, in this.
Yes.
But what else do you hope that people take away, Ken, from the book?
I want, first of all, I'd like to dispel the idea that these pirates are cute. You know, there are blogs out there that I read, and people are saying, oh, they don't hurt anybody, and they seem to be polite. You know, it's like Robin Hood. They steal from these rich oil companies. Well, I don't think so. You know, this isn't like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. These guys are a serious threat to the rule of law. And it's not just a one-off thing. It's a systematic, it's organized crime with boats. So that's one thing. The other is that there's just this entangled knot of government and military and business and poverty, because some of that same poverty we talked about, Kate, at the beginning of the show is what ultimately creates a breeding ground for bad guys.
And so
again, to go back to Congressman Smith's foreword, we've got to use both fists. On the one hand, we absolutely have to shut them down. Whether you call it a police action or it's a military intervention, they simply can't control the shipping lanes.
I agree.
Okay? Long term, however, we have to somehow change the conditions in which those young people, because most of these pirates are, they're like teenagers.
Yes, exactly.
We have to change the conditions in which they live so that they feel that they're viable alternatives to being gangsters.
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot different than going to an inner city. Kate, are we on?
Yep.
I heard music.
It's not that much different.
And looking around and saying, boy, if I grew up here, I'd be sort of hopeless.
Yeah, exactly. I love that comparison. And to return the compliment, you nailed it, my friend, definitely. Ken, would love to have you back on again. Thanks so much for coming on to America Tonight.
Kate, I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, Ken Miller, pick up his book, Langada Rules, Pirates at Lat 10, Odds and Ends, next.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
You're listening to GCS, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Odds and ends coming up here in just a few moments on America Tonight. But first, a preview of things to come. Ooh, 2010, a handful of days into it, I promised myself that I was going to really try hard on these birthdays so that all of you listening would recognize at least four names a show. I say we're going to go over that four names. We're going to go beyond that. We're going to hit another plateau here. Like King Juan Carlos of Spain, pretty self-explanatory. He's got a birthday. How about Charlie Rose, the talk show host on PBS? Everybody knows him, right? How about this one, even better, Diane Keaton, the actress? Maybe she's too old for you, don't know who she is. Do you watch Dancing with the Stars? Carrie Ann and Iba, birthday. How about this one? She's the hot chick, guys listening, on Mad Men, the blonde. I love that show. Actress January Jones, she's got a birthday. How about this guy in The Hangover, in a bunch of other movies, Bradley Cooper. He's just not that into you. And he's famous for dating Renee Zellweger, I guess. He's got a big birthday, too. What kind of a big birthday, anyway? And if you're a football fan, Pro Football Hall of Fame coach Chuck Knoll, birthday. Uh-huh. I think we're going to go over that four limit. I'm trying. Do you believe there's 360 days left in the year? Sweet. It's just the fifth day, 2010. We'll get to some of the highlights. Again, that's coming up in our next segment. But first, some of the odds and ends that I promised, including this. The suicide bomber who killed eight people, sadly, inside a CIA base in Afghanistan claimed to have information about Osama bin Laden's second-in-command and was being recruited as a double agent to infiltrate al-Qaeda. A former senior U.S. intelligence person and a foreign government official confirmed it on Monday that the bomber at the CIA base was a double agent. Oof. So, of course, gaining access, gaining trust. I've got information. Uh-huh. And then that's what happened. Moving on. This story affects all of us. I don't know how cold it is where you are. Are you shivering? Are you dressing in layers? I mean, you were talking bitter cold and snow slamming the eastern parts of the U.S. New England, record snowfall. And in the south, if you've watched any news, even for just 2 seconds, some clips of it, get ready to pay top premium money for... What is top premium money? Get ready to pay bigger bucks for orange juice. And I was just in this area, too, in Orlando, and I saw all those orange groves. And this was Thanksgiving, and the weather was still good. But with these sub-freezing temperatures, farmers are thinking that their crops are going to be destroyed because of the chill. Oof, that's bad. That means a lot of money lost at a time when they really can hardly afford to have that happen. In the meantime, the government has added a ton or dozens of people to the list of suspected terrorists and those barred from U.S.-bound flights. Of course, why is this crackdown? Because now the president is going to announce changes to the nation's watch list. Get ready for that. And a sad story here. I don't know if you know this one or not. Two more teenage sons of a Missouri truck driver have been charged in the death of a man found in the refrigerated compartment of their father's tractor trailer. That is one of the strangest stories that I've heard in a long time. And sadly, the boys were 16 and 14. So at that age, you know what they're facing? A life under lock and key. First-degree murder, kidnapping, armed criminal action, and felonious restraint. Six other people also charged. It was a 20-year-old that they kidnapped, apparently, 20-year-old James William Boyd. And it also, also including their father, Chester Harvey Jr., and another son, Chad Harvey. You know, so what, when I first saw this headline, I think that was came across in a crawl, I was thinking, what possibly could this be about? And It's some odd, strange story that, and the case doesn't make any sense, where somehow it has something to do with the wife, who's also now part of this, because she was somebody who held him at gunpoint, too, and then started to beat the guy, and she's involved. And so this whole family is involved in this crime. And it's related to the wife and related to some strange event, but that's all that they're releasing. So, I mean, there has to be more to this than, okay, something, you know, they put the body in the father's tractor trailer. They kidnapped him. The wife was involved. The husband was involved. The two kids were involved. You know, there's something very odd, to say the least, about that one. I don't think it was a random deal there. In the meantime, the Democrats, the House and Senate Democrats, say they're going to bypass traditional procedures. You know, that means they have those committee meetings when they negotiate that final curve, the leg, on health care legislation. They announced that on Monday, and it's going to exclude Republicans and reduce their ability to, they say, delay or force political trouble in voting in both houses. So get ready. Here comes a whole new world, although it's not coming anytime soon. It'll take at least 3 to 4 years to be implemented, and it's a question of what will get tweaked in this and what happens with the employers and the employees as far as health care coverage is concerned. What about people who decide they don't want it and ultimately being taxed, et cetera? I'm going to jump back to the story of how cold it is across the United States. And since the mothership is located in one of the coldest possible places on the planet, and that would be Minneapolis, let's go to Donovan Madsen. Donovan, do you guys, like, just stick outside of the studio, the Plus Studios, one of those big old thermometers so you can see, just for fun, what the temperature is? I'm thinking it's below something, right?
Current temperature looks to be about minus 10 Fahrenheit or so.
Minus 10. Okay, so you're not riding your bike right now.
No, I'm not.
That's a good thing. You'd have to have so much gear on top of you to keep warm. It would defeat the purpose, I think.
And probably skis as well.
Oh, yeah, because of the snow part. Is there still snow all over the place?
Well, at this point, it's transmuted itself into boulders of ice.
Ugh.
It's snow in name only, really.
Ugh. That's the worst. Snow is fun when it's soft and you're watching it fall. It's when it hangs around and then it becomes ice. It's not so great anymore. Ugh. Yeah, I've dealt with that. I mean, even growing up in New Jersey in the Philadelphia area, those slick, you know, like that black ice. Ooh, the worst. The worst. I mean, really, it is like icebox conditions that are being described in places that normally you wouldn't see it maybe as badly. And, I mean, we're talking all kinds of snow records. I mentioned that briefly, but in Vermont, and we have people listening to us in the great state of Vermont, you guys are freezing, and yeah, sure, you get snow and you get cold temperatures, but they're talking about this being perhaps the worst winter on record. Like, the whole way through, we're going to see some terrible weather. In St. Louis, it was awful. I mean, it's record-setting all over the place. The icy roads, Donovan's mentioning how it's icy, and, you know, sadly, then what you see is a crush of people with the homeless shelters, and luckily, usually they can figure out where the overflow goes, et cetera, depending on where we're talking about, Washington, D.C., or even Nashville. In Nashville, they said the overnight low was 12 degrees. So I would imagine if that continues, there's going to be snow delays and all that sort of stuff. So it's like I said, snow's fun when it's falling or when you're skiing somewhere or when you're a kid. How many people can relate to this? I don't know how many of you have been sledding. Best thing in the world, flexible flyer. You're at the, you just cross over to one of those big hills. You know, if you couldn't find a big hill, you could find a country club somewhere where they had a steep drop. And just lay down on that flexible flyer, and it does exactly what the name promises. You just go flying. That's the best. I'm saying it's the best. But other than that, when you're an adult and you have to dig yourself out from whatever the snow has, you know, whatever's been left behind, and then you have to deal with the ice afterwards, yeah, it's kind of a different story, right? All right, here's something else, too, that's interesting, that when we talk about health care, the U.S. health spending grew. Ooh, I hate when I hear these numbers that make no sense to me, make no sense in the fact that we're talking U.S. health spending was $2.3 trillion. That's just in 2008. And they say the costs account for more than 16% of the economic output. Ooh. So the recession slowed health care spending, but it still grew faster than the economy as a whole. That's where you get that 16 number. I mean, that is that's a blow you away number. Basically, if we were to break that down per person in the country, you'd be talking about $7,600 a person. $7,600 a person. See, this is part of the problem. If you had the competition, we wouldn't have gotten to this point in the first place. If you erased those state lines and had competition, we wouldn't even be, I don't think, we'd be in that much of a mess as we find ourselves in. Because, yes, we do need some kind of reform. It's just not the kind that's being offered out of D.C. Coming up, we have News You Can Abuse, birthdays, and this day in history.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Alright, you know you're having a bad day, and this is where we start a news you can abuse, when you decide that you're going to punch someone because they don't have chicken McNuggets. But it wasn't a friend, it wasn't anything like that. In fact, it was at the regular old McDonald's drive-through window. Police in Toledo, Ohio are saying a woman punched through the drive-through window because she couldn't get her McNuggets. They were called Friday to the restaurant, and what happened was 24-year-old Melody Duchesne was treated for injuries, then jailed. She pled not guilty to a vandalism charge. She was released on a bond in order not to have contact with the restaurant. And the restaurant isn't really saying much. She just totally flipped. You know, I've been there when I wanted the breakfast burrito because I'm not much of a fast food person. And every time I go to the McDonald's window, it's 10:32. We do not have the breakfast burrito, but I've never punched anyone in the head. And like I said, you are really having a bad day when that's all that that has set you off. You have to think something else was going on in there, right? Probably, right? How about this one? Bologna sandwiches are pretty dominant at a jail in Michigan, and I love this story. They say it's taking a bite out of crime. It's never been so bland in southeastern Michigan at this jail. Failing freezers forced the Macomb County Jail inmates to forego warm meals in favor of a stream of bologna and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches instead. So the sheriff's officials say that mold was spotted last month in the jail's 50-year-old freezers. They didn't have any money for the replacements, so the sandwich diets might continue through early next year. And the commissioners are saying that the freezers need to be replaced. And next month they're asking the commissioners for the emergency funds. But until then, too bad for those inmates. That'll teach you that crime doesn't pay. Only bologna or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are available at that particular holding facility, if you will. I think it's kind of funny myself. I can't remember the last time I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I thought this story was a made-up story, you know, one of those Ripley's Believe It or Not deals. But apparently, it's very, very true. When it comes to weird medical injuries, this is like one that takes the cake. A 29-year-old British man was referred to an ophthalmologist after suffering for weeks with a red, watery eye that wouldn't respond to any kind of treatment with antibiotics. When they took a little bit closer look, the eye revealed a number of minuscule hairs embedded in his cornea, and to the surprise of the patient, of course, and the doctor, they kind of went back as to what could this possibly be, and the man said he had been cleaning the glass tank that houses pet tarantula when the arachnid blasted him in the face with a mist of hairs. Ooh. So he says before that he thought that his pet spider was a little agitated, and apparently that's what the deal is. It was the mist from the spider. And it's a Chilean rose tarantula. And the tarantula stuck him in his right eyeball, and they were too tiny to remove with even the tiniest micro forceps. It was so fine they couldn't pull it off. They say the measurements were about 1/50th of an eyelash in diameter and a fraction of a millimeter long. So what happens is, I guess they're barbed and have prickly edges, and once they find their way into the cornea, they gradually travel through it, and then you get that inflammatory response. So it reduces your vision, it causes pain. They've treated it with steroid drops, I guess, and his condition is a little bit better. They hope it'll eventually disappear. You know, I got to have to say here, I don't get it when people have pets, like chimps, for example, that horrible situation in Connecticut, or, geez, I think I'll get a tarantula and then put him on my face and he's agitated. My tarantula somehow is agitated and now is spraying me. I don't know. Donovan, in your wildest imagination, can you imagine having, you're probably going to tell me you have one, but can you imagine having a pet tarantula?
I can imagine having a pet tarantula.
Oh, I knew it. I don't have one,
but I've thought about it every now and then. They're supposed to be relatively good pets to keep around.
But did you just hear the story about the eye?
Well, that's a story.
So that's okay. You would take the risk. You're not the traditional dog cat guy. You have to go with the... Like, I had a friend who was a comedian, great lady, very funny, who had pet rats. So I'm assuming you're kind of cut from that same cloth.
Yeah, I've had pet rats before.
Yeah, she had them. And, you know, I never heard of that. I thought she was kidding that she had the pet rats. But you know now, you can relate to that. And you know what a lot of people do is they cremate the rats when they die, or sometimes people freeze them and then bury them. Oh, I know that's not pleasant to talk about. But the pet rat thing is actually pretty big. Donovan probably could back me up on that one. All right, so here's the scoop. We move from news you can abuse to things in the eye. Don't get it. January 5th, that is the day we find ourselves now sitting on, 2010. I mentioned this before, 360 days left. Here's a couple of highlights for you, or lowlights for some. In 1781, a British naval expedition led by Benedict Arnold burned Richmond, Virginia. That's a lowlight. In 1925, Nellie T. Ross became governor of Wyoming. This one's for you, Don. She was the first female governor in the U.S. History. How about that? She succeeded Frank Lucas, who had been serving as acting governor following the death of Ross's husband, William B. Ross. So that makes a little bit of sense for those times, right? In 1933, the 30th president of the United States, Calvin Coolidge, died in Massachusetts. He was just 60 years old. In 1949, in the State of the Union address, President Harry S. Truman labeled his administration the Fair Deal. In 1994, Thomas Tip O'Neill, former Speaker of the U.S. House of Reps, died in Boston. He was 81 years old. This was an odd story. Remember in 98, Sonny Bono, the pop star married to Cher, was killed when he hit a tree while skiing at a ski resort in the Nevada-California state line. He was just 62 years old at the time. If we go back to 10 years ago, touching off a lot of protests, I remember this quite well, by Cuban Americans in Miami, the U.S. government decided to send 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez back to Cuba after a legal battle and the seizure of Elian from the home of his U.S. relatives. The boy was returned to Cuba. All right, we have birthdays. Donovan, can we have some music, please? All right, here's some good ones for you. I mentioned some of the names before, but how about this one? Former Vice President Walter Mondale is 82 years old. Actor Robert Duvall is 79 years old. He's good. I've seen him. It seems like every time I'm watching a movie on HBO or Showtime, he's on it. Pro Football Hall of Fame coach, Pittsburgh Steelers member, Chuck Knoll, 78. King Juan Carlos of Spain is right behind him at 72. Talk show host Charlie Rose is 68 years old. Diane Keaton is 64. Remember actor Ted Lang from The Love Boat, 62 years old. From Kool and the Gang, rhythm and blues musician George Funky Brown is 61. Former CIA director George Tenet is 57. He's glad he's on that spot right now. Actress Pamela Sue Martin, 57 years old. Actor Clancy Brown is 51. Actor Vinnie Jones is 45. Also celebrating a birthday, I mentioned her name earlier, Carrie-Anne and Iba, which makes no sense to anybody unless you watch Dancing with the Stars. She's a dancer, choreographer, and one of the judges. She's 42 years old. Rock singer Marilyn Manson, definitely with a different point of view, is 41 years old. Actor Bradley Cooper is 35 years old. He came out of the Actors Studio, and boy, he's been really successful. He's one of those hot new guys. Actress January Jones from Mad Men is 32. And finally, rounding out our list, actress Brooklyn Sudana is 29. Going to leave you with this. Wisdom is divided into two parts. A, having a great deal to say. And B, love this part. Here's the payoff, not saying it.